So we're going to turn in our Bibles once again, and this time to 1 John and chapter 2. And you will find this reading starting on page 1226, 1226, 1 John chapter 2, reading from verse 18. Dear children, this is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. As for you, see that what you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And this is what he promised us, eternal life. I'm writing these things to you about those who are trying to lead you astray. As for you, the anointing you received from him remains in you, and you do not need anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and as that anointing is real, not counterfeit, just as it has taught you, remain in him. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. Again, we thank God for the reading for today. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. This letter, this talk, query whether the 1 John is a letter. It's not actually addressed to anybody. But this letter, this talk, this sermon, this word of encouragement summarizes the Christian faith, summarizes the good news with these simple words. God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. God is light. In him, there is no darkness at all. And as we read this letter, and as we reflect upon what is written here, what becomes more and more clear is that the community that John is writing to has had an interesting few experiences. Because it appears that there have been those who've been part of that community, part of that church, part of that gathering of Christians. There have been those who've been part of it who haven't necessarily understood fully or accepted fully this message that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. And particularly today in our passage, we hear of something of those who were part of this community and then apparently have drifted away. And the reality is, what we learn is that in this community, there have been those who all along swore that they are light. But in fact, by their words and their actions, they displayed that they are darkness. They went around snuffing out the light. They went around erasing hope and sowing seeds of doubt and hopelessness. And these same people would have sworn blind that they brought life and they lived in the life of God, but they sowed the seeds of death. They spoke of endings rather than hopeful beginnings. And as we see in the passage today, they were those who said they were speaking the truth, but in fact, they spoke lies. They deceived, they manipulated, and they exploited. And in this letter, this sermon, this talk in 1 John, the encouragement is for each one of us, be light. Be life. Be truth. And be love. Don't just shine a light, but be that light. Be the life. Be truth and be love. And Jesus is front and center of that. Becoming more like Jesus is the call that we hear for each one of us to be life, light, light, life, truth, and love. Today, we think about Jesus as the anointed one. We think about Jesus revealing God as Father. And we hear the encouragement to abide in Jesus and to abide in the Father. The first point that I put up on the screen is this. Jesus is the anointed one. We are told in this passage, in verse 22, who is the liar? Very concerned about who's telling the truth and who's telling lies. And how can you tell who is telling the truth and who is telling lies? Who's deceiving and who can you trust? Who is the liar? It says in verse 22. It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Literally, whoever denies that Jesus is the anointed one. That's what Christ means, the word. In the Old Testament, the word that was used wasn't Christ, but Messiah. But it meant exactly the same thing. The one who was anointed, anointed by God, was the Messiah. And in the New Testament, the Greek was Christos, Christ, the one who is anointed. And John says, look, the one who's the liar, you can spot them easily, because they're the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus is the one anointed by God. He is the one filled with the Holy Spirit, possessing the Holy Spirit. He is the one who is the perfect representation of the living, eternal, just, good, loving, and merciful God. Now we might ask, well, why would anybody deny this? Why would this be such an issue of contention? Can't I perhaps go along with the rest of the Christian message, but not accept that Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the anointed one, the chosen one of God. So why deny it? Now, I guess for some folk, they may have had a struggle in their minds and a certain degree of tension. They may have been attracted to Jesus. And yet, there may have been the tension with, if Jesus is the anointed one of God, if he is the Christ, the chosen one, he doesn't look like it. Because Jesus was crucified. He appeared weak and feeble. So it may be that for some people, there is that tension, that wrestling within their own hearts and minds. I'm attracted to Jesus, but I'm not sure. Is he really the anointed one, the Christ, the chosen one of God? But there is, I think, a deeper challenge and a deeper reason why people would deny that it's Jesus who is the chosen one. And it is simply this. Because to accept Jesus, to accept that Jesus is God's chosen one, that Jesus is the one God has anointed as the Christ, is to acknowledge that when we look at Jesus, this is what God looks like. God looks like this, like Jesus. And what do we see in Jesus? We see love and compassion and mercy and kindness and justice and peace. We see in Jesus that God's kingdom is without borders, that it is inclusive, that it is welcoming. We see in Jesus deep forgiveness and mercy towards those who have failed. We see in the teaching of Jesus the encouragement to take up your cross and to follow, even if it means you die yourself, to walk the way of Jesus. To accept that Jesus is the anointed one of God, his chosen one, the Christ, is to say, yes, this is what God is like. And let's face it, there may be times for all of us when we thought, I'm not sure. I know there are times, particularly as I've read the Gospels, when I've read the life of Jesus, when I've read the teaching of Jesus, and I've had one of those moments, perhaps, where I'm sure I've read these words before, but it's as if I'm reading them for the first time. And they jump out at me. And they call me to a deeper compassion or a deeper kindness or a stronger mercy than I've ever imagined God was calling me to. And it's at that point I may balk and go, do I really want to follow as Jesus calls me to? Do I really want to obey the words of Jesus to turn the other cheek? To love my enemy, to pray for those who persecute you? Do I really want to obey the teaching of Jesus that if I have two of something, I should give one away because I have enough? And sometimes I have a pause. To accept that Jesus is the one to whom God says, yes, he is my chosen one. He is the anointed one, is to accept the life and the teaching of Jesus. This is what God looks like. And so that's why it's denied. That's why the liars in this community deny that Jesus is God's chosen one, because they don't want the consequences. And it may be for us at points in our lives, we would have preferred comfort and a sense of safety in our own lives rather than stepping out and trusting in the life and teaching of Jesus. Jesus is the anointed one, we read. Jesus, secondly, reveals God as Father. In verse 23, no one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father. That's simple, isn't it? Whoever denies the Son, whoever denies that Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ, the chosen one of God, whoever denies the Son, denies the Father. But whoever acknowledges the Son and says, yes, as best I can, I'm going to follow the life and teaching of Jesus, the revelation of God, acknowledging the Son means you have the Father. Now, I'm sure I won't be the only one who remembers when I was growing up, one of the favourite verses to be preached in the church where I did a lot of my growing up was John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. Any offers? John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6. Spot on. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Many people, you see, knew God. When Jesus was with his disciples, when he was talking to them, even at the time of what is described in John 14, Jesus had just told his disciples that he wasn't going to stay with them much longer. And they're concerned, and it was Thomas, I think, who questioned him about where he was going and what they would do when he wasn't with them any longer. And it's within that context that Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Many people knew God. Many people knew God. People who didn't at that time know Jesus. But when you read the Old Testament, there are many expressions of God as judge, or expressions of God as a warrior fighting, or God as a lawgiver and then one who watches over you to make sure you keep the law. Or perhaps people knew God as fire. Do you remember the story of Elijah and the prophet to Baal in 1 Kings? How God sends fire to burn up the altar. And for some people, that was their personal and real experience of this is what God is like. For some, they knew God as destroyer. There are all sorts of ways in which people personally knew God, and that was their understanding, that was their relationship with God. Now, of course, the Old Testament also speaks of God as light, God as shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Very rarely is God spoken of as Father in the Old Testament. He is spoken of as Father. Very rarely. And when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the judge. No. No one comes to the lawgiver. No. No one comes to the destroyer. No. No one comes to the Father, except through me. And so what Jesus is speaking to his disciples and encouraging them, saying, God is Father. You can know God in many, many different ways. If you want to know God as I have revealed him to you, God as Father, then I'm the only way. The only possibility for you, the only opportunity for you to know God as Father. And again, there are those, clearly in this community that is being written to, who had, yes, they denied, and they didn't want to face up to the consequences, the challenge, possibly that Jesus was the anointed one, the Christ, God, Jesus was God's chosen one, revealing what God is like. But equally, they denied Jesus. They denied Jesus because Jesus reveals God as Father. And for some, that's too much. Because to speak of God as Father prioritizes love and kindness and welcome and patience. If any of you have been parents, and many of you have been parents, you know what it is for your kids to mess up or for your kids to ring up at a really inconvenient time for you. But you welcome them anyway. And you say, it's okay. This is your home. This is your safe place. And that's like Father God, who is protective, who is faithful, who is personal, not far off, but is personal, who is attentive to us, who affirms us, who gives to us in ways that nobody else gives as a father. And for some, they don't want a God who is like that. The one whose door is always open. The one who, when his son, in the story of the prodigal son, the son had wasted every opportunity and everything that had been given to him, when he returns home in disgrace, the father welcomes him, throwing his arms around him, saying, "You are my son. I love you." And Jesus reveals God as Father. And we are encouraged today. There may be those who don't want to acknowledge God as Father. But for you, say yes. Say yes to God as Father. It is how he is revealed in the Lord Jesus. So Jesus is the anointed one. Jesus reveals God as Father. And then this simple encouragement, abide in Jesus, abide in the Father, or remain, continue to keep on going in Jesus, to keep on going in relationship with the Father. Now, a little earlier on in the service, the reading was from John 15. And the encouragement from Jesus to his disciples in John 15 is remain in me as I remain in the Father. And this idea of remaining or abiding or staying, and really, you know, of course, I guess all of us have from time to time, we've gone and stayed places. And you pack up your suitcase, don't you? And you travel somewhere, and if you're going just for a night or a couple of nights, it may just be me, but have you ever lived out of your suitcase? Yeah, you know. But the encouragement, when we're encouraged to abide or remain, it's, yeah, bring your suitcase, but unpack it. Make this place your home. Put the suitcase away. This is where you're staying. Live here. And it's a choice we make. It doesn't happen accidentally. We make a choice. I'm going to stay here. How do I abide? How do I continue? How do I remain in Jesus and therefore remain in the Father? Well, we choose. We choose Jesus. We choose the Father. We choose life. We choose to read, to reflect upon, and to follow the teaching and the life example of Jesus. We choose to do that. If you do what I command, Jesus says, you will remain in me. You will abide in me. if you do what I command. Now, this isn't some heavy command that Jesus gives that constrains us. What is the command? As I have loved you, love. As I have loved you, love. And you know what it is to be loved? To be loved is to be set free, to be who God made you to be. If you are truly loved by someone, you are being set free to be who God created you to be. And you can do that knowing that the one who loves you is faithful to you. They will pick you up when you fall down. They will welcome you back when you make a mistake. They will forgive you easily because they love you and they want you to be the best that you can possibly be. You can be the best that God has made you to be. As I have loved you, so love. Be humble. Follow the teaching of Jesus. To abide in Jesus is to listen to him and to watch him. In fact, in John 15, I think I counted up. I think in the space, it's either 7 or 8 verses, this word abide or remain is used 9 times. It's just repeated over and over and over. And that's the encouragement for us. And so within this particular passage, as the writer writes to this Christian community and acknowledges that there have been some people who have now left them, who had confused them, who had sowed seeds of doubt and discontent and confusion, the encouragement is, acknowledge Jesus is God's chosen one. Jesus is the anointed one, revealing God in a beautiful way. Jesus reveals God as Father. There is no better revelation you need of God. And the encouragement, folks, just remain in him. Just abide. Do whatever you need to do to stick with Jesus and to choose life. So let's pause here and we'll take a moment to pray before we sing. I'm going to read just 2 verses from Deuteronomy 30, where Moses speaks to the people and says, "This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life. Choose life that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God, listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life." Lord Jesus, help us to choose life. Help us to choose life, but help us also to turn from those things in our own lives, in our lifestyle, that are not life-giving. Give us courage and help us that we might turn from that which doesn't help and turn to that which is truly life. May we know your blessing and your presence. In the name of Christ. Amen.